The following sermon is from Christ the King Lutheran Church in Kingwood, Texas. For more information, go to christforyou.net.
Oh, yeah. You can tweet that out right now. My church had Gladiator this morning. I'm telling you, tweet that stuff out. Hey, let's go to the Lord in a quick prayer, because today's message, I didn't pray at the beginning of the last service, but I just feel like we need to do that right now. So let's just quick pray. Lord, I just pray against Satan and his demons and how he'd be at work in this time to try to maybe get us to not kind of fall along or hear your word. And so we just pray against him. Please protect this place right now with your guardian angels and your mighty hand, and allow us to be able to be in a place where we can just kind of hear and allow it to get into our hearts, please, Lord. Let your word just be present, and not a word more, not a word less than needs to be said. In Jesus' name, amen. So the reading, I hope you kind of heard that from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. The reading is on a demon-possessed guy, about a demon-possessed guy, right? And as I have been processing that reading the past couple, this past couple days / this past week, my brain kind of instantly goes to battle scene, right? My brain just instantly goes to like an all-out war. Because if you look in Mark, you have Jesus essentially coming onto the scene, right? He comes into this world, and then instantly he begins to do his kind of public ministry, right? And then instantly, as he begins his ministry, he's led out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan himself. For 40 days he does this, and he's victorious, and it's awesome. And then he comes out of that, he goes into Capernaum, and all of a sudden he's met by this like demon-possessed guy. And then as you kind of read through, just kind of glance through Mark, Jesus is like casting out demons left and right. He's healing people. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, I just have this image of this battle going on. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I start to think about like demon possession stuff, I start to kind of wonder, essentially, I don't know, you get just like all these questions that come up in your brain when it comes to like demons and Satan and stuff like that. Do you have that? I have that. I'm just like, does it still happen? How does it look? What does that look like today? I don't know. But the question that just kind of kept coming back to me was, how serious are demons? How serious is Satan? I don't know, did anybody fill out their NCAA bracket, right? Yeah, okay, a couple, okay. One, two basketball people in here. Sweet. It's all good. So, I don't know, but I did Duke all the way. I got Duke going the whole way. Sorry, yeah. That's awesome. So, I got Duke going the whole way. I think they can do it. But I was thinking about that as I was kind of prepping this message, and I was like, wait, what's Duke's mascot? Duke's mascot is this little blue devil thing, right? The Blue Devils. And I was thinking, isn't that interesting how, like, in our minds sometimes, on the one hand, they're not that serious, so much so that it's like demons are a mascot, like out cheering the crowd, woo, go basketball. But then like the other side of it is like, you know, if you've ever seen like parts of the movie or like The Exorcist or something like that, and you're just like, whoa, that's crazy. And like, my question is like, how serious really are demons and Satan, like, how serious is it? Here's my first point. My first point, it's a barn burner here. Demons are a big deal. You can just write that in your notes, okay? Demonic forces are a big deal. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. And the Apostle Paul is just about to go into like talking about how big of a deal this really is. He says this in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now this is post-cross. This is post-Jesus. Like, He ascended back into heaven. And now Paul is saying, listen, our battle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. How big of a deal is this? It's a big deal. Demons are real. So real. I want to try to help us this morning. So real that they'd be touchable or seeable if the Lord were to kind of open our eyes to that realm. There's kind of some of this kind of stuff that happens. I think of like Elijah and his servant. There was a time in the Old Testament where they're surrounded by a physical army. And Elijah's just not like freaking out about it at all. And the servant's kind of like, we should be freaking out about it. And Elijah says, oh, Lord, open his eyes to see. And his eyes are open. The Lord opens the servant's eyes. And around this giant physical army is another, what? The angels. This giant spiritual army around them. Demons are real. Satan is real. They're a big deal. And as I've been thinking about it, I keep going back to this image. This is one of my favorite images in Gladiator. Because it's kind of this one of these panned back, giant military battle kind of things going on, right? And so often I get a little nervous, especially as I've just been prepping for this and praying for you guys this past week. I just get sometimes a little nervous that sometimes we're not aware of a spiritual battle that's taking place all around us on a regular basis. Demons at work against you and I. And sometimes I think it's like we're, like there's these two giant, like it's a big battle going to take place. And like, just imagine, this is helpful for me. Imagine a guy like sitting in the middle right there, somewhere in the middle, okay? And he's just sitting there like on a park bench, just like eating some lunch. See? Like how, that doesn't even make sense because they'd be like, no, I got to move. You know, whoo, I better go over there. Because there's a collision about to happen. But sometimes I feel like that's us. Like we're going through life and we're just kind of munching on our lunch and we're unaware of a spiritual kind of battle that's taking place around us. And we're just kind of munching on lunch and all of a sudden our friends and the people around us are getting blown away. And all of a sudden, somebody takes one in the leg, you know, some arrow. Or somebody takes one in the heart, and we're just kind of like, yep, just kind of keep chugging along. And what do I mean by, like, blown up? Like, all of a sudden, another marriage in divorce. See? All of a sudden, like, somebody over here falls to sexual temptation again. See? Blown away. All of a sudden, we start to fall trap even more to this just kind of racism that just keeps festering all around us. It's always been there. It's going to continue, but it keeps bringing division to people groups. And just, and we just kind of, it's like we're unaware of it. We're unaware, or we're just not kind of tuned into these attacks by demonic forces. Demons are a big deal. Look at this. Look at this in Mark. Look at this. This is the text that we're kind of looking at. It's one of the reasons I picked this text. Verse 23. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Here's what's fascinating to me about this. There's a subtlety here, isn't there? See, there's other demon possessions in the Bible where there's like, you know, in Luke there's one where like this guy's naked and he's just like running around the tombs and he's got super strength. He's got all these demons in him and he's just like foaming at the mouth, right? And I'm like, that makes sense. That's a demon-possessed guy. See? Yep, we want to kind of avoid him, right? But check this out. Here's a guy who's in the synagogue. Now, this guy just got in there. Nobody's like freaking out about this guy being in there. And I don't know, but is this guy like, is he like drinking a little bit of coffee, you know, but chatting it up before the teaching starts? There's a subtlety to it. And I get just sometimes a little nervous that sometimes we're not as aware to the spiritual forces of evil that are taking place around us. Does this make sense to you? Here's the deal. I realize there's other things at play, right? We struggle against what? It's taught here often, like there's three big enemies, right? Sin is a big one, right? Sin is you know, this disease that's infected us. It's this condition that we have, and it's just so frustrating. And then there's death, the fact that we're going to die someday. And then what? Sin, death, and the devil, right? Demons. Like, this is a problem. And I don't totally, here, I'll be honest with you, I don't totally understand at times the interplay that takes place between some of those things. You know, like, how do demons, like, affect and tempt, or are there times where it's simply my own selfishness and my own sin? Yes. You can't, for every problem in life, you can't be like, demon did it, demon did it, demon did it, demon did it. No, we own this. I'm simply here to kind of just share. Demons are in play. Demons are in play. How much, how tight, I don't totally know. But they're in play. And they're coming after you like crazy. Just turn the page in your Bible. What ultimately are demons trying to do? Check it out. Jesus teaches us. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower. And do you remember this one where Jesus is saying a farmer goes out, he throws the seed around, and the seed is the word of God. Or the seed is essentially the gospel, the story about how much God loves you, and Jesus loves you, and he came, and the kingdom is breaking in. But it's bigger even than that. It's essentially all the promises of God and all this stuff, the word of God. But look at this. So the farmer goes out, sows the seed, and then Jesus comes back to teach the disciples what this parable means. And this in verse 13, this is what Jesus says. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown." Get this. "And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." Satan comes and takes away that word that's sown in them. Man, I have seen this play out, folks. In people's lives, the word of God getting stolen away from them. You are loved. No, you're not. You can't be that loved. You are forgiven of all your sins. Yeah, but I know what you did a long time ago. Not that one. Not that one. That's too big. I'm always going to be with you. Yeah, not through this time. You're on your own. Do you see how Satan comes in and begins to steal the word from us? And we begin to believe, I can't be forgiven for everything. Is he really with me always? Does God really love me? Does God really care about me and my family? This is what he's after. And he accomplishes this often. Does he not? I mean, right? Wouldn't you all be able to kind of testify to this? The people's lives around you, sometimes our own hearts. Demons are a big deal. So what do we do? I don't know about you. But if you're like me, and I start thinking battle stuff, I start thinking head to academy, pick up an AR-15, and as many rounds of ammo as we can. That's me. That's how I roll, okay? Don't judge me. You got your own things. But that's me. I'm like, let's take them. Let's go take them out. But how do you do this with, we can't see them. This is, you're at the AR-15, the AK, that's not going to work. So what do we do? See, we turn to the one who with but a word has power and authority over anything we encounter. Look at this. Mark chapter 1, right, the continuation of this story. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And what has to happen? I've taught this before. That when Jesus speaks something, something's got to happen, right? And when Jesus says, "Come out of him," what's got to happen? He's got to come out. And he comes out, crying with a loud voice, came out of him, and they were all amazed that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And this kind of, with Jesus, this is kind of my second point. Now, if my first point is demonic forces are a big deal, my second point is demonic forces are not that big of a deal. I just love it. I've been excited to do that with you. See, with Jesus, the one who is Lord, the King, the great conqueror, all of a sudden, demons actually become not that big of a deal. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. And in his Screwtape Letters, I don't know if you've read that, but make sure, maybe go buy that book and just kind of read it. Just good help, kind of a frame of references to help you with some of this. But in his opening line in this book, the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis says this: "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils or demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence, or to not be sensitive to the fact that this is real around us. And the other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them." See, to me, that is essentially saying, to me, it's granting them power where they don't have it. Not recognizing the fact that we are behind one who is more powerful. See, if you want to tweet something out, I'd tweet this. I'd say this: Jesus is more powerful than anything you will ever encounter. And I use that word power intentionally to kind of say, not stronger, not like powerful than anything you will ever encounter, both physically but also spiritually. And this is, see, this is the struggle for even the disciples. The disciples think all the way up to Pentecost, folks. Even after Jesus ascends into heaven, there's 40 days of him teaching. And at the end of that, they say, I just was listening to this in a sermon, that's why I'm thinking about this. But they say, now are you going to kind of rule and reign? See, all the way through the disciples, and sometimes even us, we're thinking, Jesus is going to come with, you know, the AR and the sword, and he's just going to conquer the Romans and push them out, and this is going to be awesome. But what does Jesus do? Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, doesn't he? This little donkey, he comes riding into Jerusalem, gets off. He allows himself to be captured. He allows himself to be flogged. He allows himself to go to a cross. And the Son of God, not just a regular dude, the Son of God allows himself to be killed. Now this, look at 1 Corinthians. This is foolishness. This is foolishness to the world. But to those who are being saved, what is it? The power of God. See, we hear that and we're like, that's not the way you conquer. That's not the way you take down the enemy. The cross, the shed blood of Jesus, is the very power of God. And in one swift motion, He, on the cross, he defeats sin. He defeats death. But sometimes we don't remember. He also defeats the devil, doesn't he? Look at this in Colossians. I want to. You guys always think I'm making this stuff up. Look at Colossians. I can just see. Colossians 2. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Oh, we're like, yep, my sins are forgiven. But by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Many of you are still following me. But then look at what also is included in the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, the spiritual forces of evil, and he puts them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. When you face temptation, when you begin to be kind of sensitive to this, like, you know, you're fighting with your wife or something, and you're like, we don't do this like this usually. Like, sometimes it's my sinful nature, but like right now, I don't even get what this is. Man, when you start to get a little bit sensitive to the fact that demons are at play, we're able to say, whoa, wait a second. And what do? We remind those spiritual forces of evil that we are bought with the blood of the Lamb. Now, blood, but somebody had to die. That's not very strong unless it's the Son of God's blood. Then it's the very power of God. And so we look that demon, Satan himself, maybe in the face, and we say, you have no power here. There is no authority here. Not because I'm powerful, I'm not. You're more powerful than me. Okay, fine. But the very Spirit of God lives inside of me. And with but a word. See, 1 John 4:4. The God who lives in you, children, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. My prayer is that you would pray about this, that you would go to the Lord. When you begin to feel temptation, when you begin to hear the lies of Satan, when you begin to feel there's demonic presence and stuff is going on that it's like, wait a second, something's going on here. When you begin to feel that word being stolen from you, go to him. Go to the Father. Go to the one who is our conqueror. I think of my little daughter. Could you imagine my little daughter, Ariana, coming up to me and just say, Daddy, there's a guy trying to get me. Say, oh, baby, you better watch out, right? See, that would fire me up like you wouldn't believe, and something would go down. When we start to feel that stuff, we go to him. Father, something's going on here. I'm powerless to handle this. I need you. You better watch out. Not you, Satan, demons. They better watch out. Jesus loves you guys like crazy. He does. He's with you. He cares about you. He has defeated sin, yes. He's defeated death, yes. But he's also defeated the devil. Demons are a big deal. Let's be sensitive to that. Demons are really not that big of a deal. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you recognizing our own weaknesses. We recognize the fact that we need you so desperately. We are in a battle against spiritual forces of evil that are more powerful than us. We will fall every time to temptation, to the stealing of the word. We will fall if we don't have you. And that's why, Lord, we just come before you. Oh, Father, Dad, will you hear us? Hear our need for you. We are sorry for where we have not been as sensitive to some of these things as we need to be. Help us to be sensitive to not know that these things not only in our own lives, but the people around us, that we'd be watching and praying against these forces in the name of Jesus. Thank you for buying us back with your blood. In Jesus' name.